tiny in all that air. The Philip Larkin Society Podcast.
Welcome to the last podcast of the year, and this time we're doing something a bit different, bringing you the convivial sounds of the Philip Larkin Society Christmas Quiz that took place at the Haworth Arms pub in Hull on the afternoon of Saturday the 2nd of December. Our wonderful Honorary Vice President Alan Johnson is the quizmaster, but you can also hear in the background our Chair Rosie Millard, as well as the teams made up of members and trustees. You might even hear me. So grab some paper, pour yourself some Christmas drinks or make yourself a cuppa and enjoy playing along. The questions and answers can all be found on the PLS website too.
Is that you, Santa Claus? Gifts I'm preparing for some Christmas sharing, but I pause because hang in my stocking, I can hear a knocking. Is that you, Santa Claus?
Okay, I make it one, two, three, four teams and a duo playing today. You have to give yourself a name. So think of a name for your team and then write the name at the top of your scorecard. So we've got six rounds, 10 questions in each round. Every effort has been made to make sure the answers are correct. Whether or not they are, the quizmaster's final word counts. So, you know, I'm not concerned if you're inaccurate, but they all look good to me. So at the end of each round, I'll ask you to swap with probably the table next to you, and then you can mark each other's homework. You've all done this before, I'm sure. And it's 1 point for a correct answer. So let's go with round one, which is questions on Hull, some of which relate to Larkin, some of which don't. Question one. Which king on St. George's Day in 1642 was refused entry to Hull? Who did Hull shut the gates on in 1642? Question two. Hull's very own Amy Johnson was the first woman to fly solo from England to Australia, but in which year? In which year did Amy Johnson fly from England to Australia? Now, the next question might take a bit longer to ask than answer because it's an anagram and I haven't got anything to chalk it up on. So you'll have to take down the anagram. It's an anagram of something invented in Hull and you have to say what it is. And the anagram, there's three words. Aldrich, A-L-D-R-I-C, A-L-D-R-I-C, squalidly, S-Q-U-A-L-I-D-L-Y, tipsy, T-I-P-S-Y. So Aldrich, squalidly, tipsy is the anagram of something invented in Hull. Okay. Let's move on to the next question. In what year did Hull Fair, the famous Hull Fair, celebrate its 700th anniversary? Was it in 1946, in 1993, or in 2005? 700th anniversary of Hull Fair. 46, 93, or 2005. Okay, and then question five. Halfway mark on this round. Where would you find an annotated display of Philip Larkin's glasses? Says in brackets, unveiled by Alan Johnson. Okay, question six. How many specially commissioned trail markers are on the 2011 Larkin Trail. How many specially commissioned trail markers are on the 2011 Larkin Trail? This might be one where you just have to guess. Okay, question seven. Where would you see this line from a Larkin poem inscribed in Hull? And the line is, a hothouse flashed uniquely.
Where would you see it?
Inscribed. It's inscribed somewhere in Hull, that line. Honestly. Think Larkin. Where he lived? Okay, question eight. How many Larkin roundels are there on the floor of Paragon Station? How many of those Larkin roundels that we launched in 2010 are there on the floor of Hull Paragon Station? And here's another line from a Larkin poem for question nine. Another line inscribed somewhere in Hull. And the line is, if I were called in to construct a religion, and it's somewhere in Hull. And there's one more in the same vein, which is the final question in this round. Once again, where would you see this line inscribed in Hull? Another line of Larkin's poetry. All sense of being in a hurry gone. Okay. So choose who you're going to swap with. And then we'll do the answers. Good, right. Question one, the king who was refused entry was King Charles I. Amy Johnson flew from England to Australia on first solo flight in 1930. 1930? No. You do try, Rosie. Yeah. No leeway here. No, absolutely. It's a benign dictatorship here. The anagram, Aldrich Squaddedly Tipsy, was of liquid crystal display, invented at Hull University. Liquid crystal display. Where would you find annotated display of Larkin's glasses? I think we almost got the answer from over there. Hull and East Yorkshire Eye Hospital in Anlaby Road, Hull. Phillips spectacles are there. Oh, I'm sorry, I did, yeah. Sorry, four. What year did Hull Fair celebrate its 700th anniversary? It was 1993. And the answer to five was the Eye Hospital in Anlaby Road. Question six, how many specially commissioned trail markers? 25.
Well done.
And then we have, where would you see the line, a hothouse flashed uniquely? It's on a bench in the conservatory in Pearson Park. I'd accept Pearson Park. I think that's, yeah. Julian, you're the overall judge here. If I turn to you for a, yeah, yeah. Question eight, how many Larkin roundels on the floor at Hull Paragon is five. And then the next line inscribed, if I were called in to construct a religion, that's on the new fountain in Victoria Avenue. fairly recent. And the final line, once again from the Whitsun Weddings, all sense of being in a hurry gone, is on the Larkin seat on the concourse at Hull Paragon Station. Okay, so you can hand your papers back and we'll start the second round. Yeah, put the mark at the bottom out of 10. Now, the next round is tantalisingly headed Sport in Literature. And question one, which feisty Jane Austen heroine in Northanger Abbey preferred in her youth, quotation mark, cricket, baseball and riding to books? Which feisty Jane Austen heroine in Northanger Abbey preferred in her youth, and this is a direct quotation, cricket, baseball and riding to books? Second question. In what novel does Black Boy win a race during which a knife attack occurs on the race course? Famous novel. Famous novel and an extra clue, a famous film. Question three. With whom did the poet John Betjeman play strenuous singles after tea? Quote from a poem, line from a John Betjeman poem. With whom did John Betjeman play strenuous singles after tea? Question four. Leo Colston catches out Ted Burgess in a village cricket match in which book by L.P. Hartley? I only know one book by L.P. Hartley. Yeah, fly fishing. Often confused. Question five. Who does the football pools in a Larkin poem? Who does the football pools in a Larkin poem? Question six. This is a quote from a letter that Philip Larkin wrote to his mother on the 9th of April 1967. He said, all the leading horses fell, leaving the field to a complete outsider. It just shows how it never does to give up. What famous horse race was Larkin writing about? Okay, question seven. In which Larkin poem do we find a crowd of men compared to the attendees at the Oval Cricket Ground? In which Larkin poem do we find a crowd of men compared to the attendees at the Oval Cricket Ground? Question eight, who wrote the book on beauty, which refers to the cricket club tie worn by Monty Kipps? Basically, who wrote the book on beauty? Contemporary author. Question nine, in which novel by F. Scott Fitzgerald is there reference to golfer Jordan Baker, inspired by real-life golfer Edith Cummings? Which F. Scott Fitzgerald novel has Jordan Baker, who is inspired by Edith Cummings? Question 10. Wrestler T.S. Garp appears in The World According to Garp. Who wrote this American novel? The World According to Garp. Okay. Swap over with your markers. Thanks. Right, here we go with the answers. Are we okay to mark these papers? The feisty Jane Austen heroine in Northanger Abbey was Catherine Morland. Catherine Morland. Did you do English literature, Rosie? Did you do literature at Hull University? All right.
You should be penalised.
Yeah. 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 It's a very cruel audience here. Okay, second question two. The novel in which Black Boy wins a race during which a knife attack is made on the course is Brighton Rock by Graham Greene. With whom did the poet John Betjeman play strenuous singles after tea? Was Joan Hunter Dunn, Burnished and Furnished by Aldershot's Son? Miss Joan Hunter Dunn is the answer to question three. Question four, Leo Colston catches out Ted Burgess in the cricket match in The Go-Between by L.P. Hartley. The man who does the football pause in a Larkin poem is Mr. Bleeny. The horse race that Larkin was referring to in the letter to his mum. Question six is the Grand National. Was it Niccolo Silva? Poinhaven.
So do we get our extra half
point for that? No. No. I'm being very strict on this. You get the full 1 point for saying the Grand National. And that's all you're getting. Now, I'm going to give you some license on this one, because the Larkin poem in which we find a crowd of men compared to the attendees at Oval Cricket Ground is 1914, but it's in Roman numerals. So if you do it in Roman numerals, No, because it messes up the whole point system. There's always one troublemaker, isn't there? And it's... Question eight, who wrote On Beauty? That was Zadie Smith. Follow-up to White Teeth, I think, wasn't it? And question nine, F. Scott Fitzgerald's Golfer. That was in The Great Gatsby. And question 10, the wrestler T.S. Garp appears in the book The World According to Garp by John Irving. Good. Hang your papers back, hand your papers back, and then we're on to round three. Okay. Round three. The title of this round is Questions on Music in Larkin, Music in Larkin and Music in Hull. Question one, in which poem does Larkin make reference to the Beatles' first LP? In which Larkin poem does he make reference to the Beatles' first LP? Which incidentally was Please Please Me, but that's not in the line. Question two, Larkin named a track called Down in the Dumps as his number one choice of record on Desert Island Discs. Which female jazz singer recorded this song? The female jazz singer who recorded Down in the Dumps. And question three, so easy that if you get it wrong, you'd be immediately expelled from Hull. Who was the Hull-born guitarist who played with David Bowie and the Spiders from Mars? Currently, I think... Currently the subject of a play at Hull Truck. Question four, Roland Gift moved to Hull aged 11. In which band was Roland Gift the lead singer? Question five. Question five. Complete the title of this House Martins album. London Nil, Hull... Ever. Well, when Hull City were promoted, remember it actually came true because they beat so many London teams. Yeah. London nil, Hull what? Question six, everything but the girl met as students at Hull University, but from which Hull location did they take their name? Everything but the girl met as students at Hull University. Which Hull location did they take their name from? Question 7. Which recording artist did Larkin describe in 1967 as having a passionately agile voice that deals with all kinds of material, and her no-holds-barred My Man's Gone Now has got her into my collection single-handed? Christ, that's a mouthful. So we're looking for the recording artist who recorded My Man's Gone Now, that Larkin quoted as a song that put her immediately into his collection. Question eight. Now, as Graham was saying, Larkin died exactly 38 years ago today, on 2nd of December 1985. What was at number one in the UK charts at the time? Was it A, There Must Be an Angel by the Eurythmics? Was it B, I'm Your Man by Wham? Or was it C, Like a Prayer by Madonna? So which record was number one when Larkin died on 2nd of December 1985? A, There Must Be an Angel by Eurythmics. B, I'm Your Man by Wham. C, Like a Prayer by Madonna.
Can you sing it?
Can I sing it?
Can we sing it?
You can sing, well, you can sing it afterwards, yes. Yeah, otherwise you might give it away, yeah? Yeah, you can have a concert. Question 9. Which Coventry-based band, with their nod to Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream, provides the music for the Philip Larkin Society podcast that I know you all listen to, Tiny in All That Air? Exactly, yeah. You're going to hurt some people if you don't listen, if you don't get this right. Which Coventry-based band we're looking for provides the music for the Philip Larkin Society's podcast, Tiny in All That Air? Finally, question 10. Of which jazz musician did Larkin demand, oh, play that thing? Which jazz musician did Larkin demand, oh, play that thing? Okay, after we've marked these, you can have a 10-minute break. But let's do the marking first. Everyone ready to mark? Okay. The answer to question 1, the poem with Beatles' first LP, was Annus Mirabilis. Annus Mirabilis. The answer to question 2, the artist who recorded Down in the Dumps, was Bessie Smith. The Hull-born guitarist was, of course, Mick Ronson. Roland Gift was in a band called the Fine Young Cannibals. Question 5, the title of the House Martins album was London Nil Hull 4. Which artist did Larkin describe as having a passionately agile voice? What? Oh, sorry. Sorry. Everything But the Girl, Met as Students. Which Hull location? I'll take... I think I ought to be kind on this. It was a slogan on the front of a furniture shop in Hull. I'll give you that. But if you get Turner's, that was the name of the shop, you still get 1 point. No, you get a point. There you are. All Heart. The Avenues? No. No. It has to be a furniture shop. No. It has to be a furniture shop, doesn't it? Because it used to say Everything But the Girl, which was typically sexist for the early 80s, but... And so the artist that Philip Larkin liked after he heard My Man's Gone Now was Nina Simone. And the Top of the Pops when Larkin died was I'm Your Man by Wham. And the Coventry-based band in the Larkin Society podcast, which if you haven't listened to it, you will from now on, I know, Tiny and All That Air. The band is the Mechanicals.
CD is on sale.
So, CD. Thank you very much. Well done, Julian. And the jazz musician that Larkin demanded, oh, play that thing. It was a guy called Sidney Bechet. Is that Bechet? B-E-C-H-E-T. Okay, 10-minute break.
If you'd all like to give me your first sheet.
Oh.
Our quiz master is just about to give you the half-time scores in reverse order.
Oh, thank you, Julian.
Hey, this is out of 30, better remember. I mean, they're remarkably good, I'd say.
Yeah.
They were quite difficult. They were quite difficult, those questions, I
thought. All right, the Larkin Irregulars. So I'll do this... Who are the Larkin Irregulars?
In that corner.
I've got my microphone here. Well, the Larkin Irregulars done very well, considering there's only... Well, there's three of you now. But you're not allowed, no. They got 15. Don't forget, we're talking now out of 30. So the halfway mark, I'm going to leave that there.
Thank you.
Well done. Well done, the Larkin Irregulars. Then we've got Christine Keeler. Oh, well, that was you. That's a play on Christine Keeler. Very funny, I'm sure. Yeah, thank you. They've got 19. 19. As have the Brunettes. Brunettes. You've got 19 as well. Julie has got... You, 20. You've got 20. Which leaves the Hoblolly, is this the Loblolly Men? That's from Philip Larkin. The Loblolly Men on 24. Is that right? Well done, the Loblolly Men.
Hang on to those.
Yes, certainly. Yep. Certainly. Okay, shall we get going with round... Are we back? Okay, here we go. Larkin and His Contemporaries is the title of round four. And the first question, which poet and friend of Philip Larkin has a blue plaque on the wall of a Swansea betting office? Which poet, a Welsh poet, is another clue, and friend of Philip Larkin has a blue plaque on the wall of a Swansea betting office. Okay, question two. What is the literary connection between the novelist Malcolm Bradbury and Monica Jones? What is the literary connection between the novelist Malcolm Bradbury of History Man fame and Monica Jones? Okay, question three. There are 64 lines in Larkin's poem, the aforementioned 1914 in Roman numerals. How many sentences do they comprise? 64 lines in Larkin's poem, 1914. How many sentences do they comprise? These are tough ones. An easier one. Question four. After John Betjeman died in 1984, it was rumoured that Larkin would take up the post of Poet Laureate. He didn't. Which poet was appointed instead? So who became Poet Laureate after John Betjeman in 1984? Okay, question five. Which of Larkin's contemporaries, his literary contemporaries, wrote Excellent Women and Quartet in Autumn? Who wrote Excellent Women and Quartet in Autumn? A novelist very much associated with Larkin. Question six. Which of Larkin's contemporaries won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1995? Which of Larkin's contemporaries won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1995? Question seven. Tom Gunn is generally regarded as one of the English movement writers, along with Philip Larkin and Elizabeth Jennings. But where did Tom Gunn move to in 1954 and live for the rest of his life? Now, there's three questions that refer to Larkin's descriptions of his own poems. You have to tell us in all three which poem. So question eight, Larkin said, first verse all right, the rest crap, especially the last line. And to give you a clue, you find these things in parks. So you want the name of the poem. The name of the poem is something you find in parks. And Larkin said of it that the first verse was all right, rest was crap, especially the last line. For question nine, he said this about this particular poem. Finished the commissioned poem last night, but it isn't any good. I'll never be laureate. And the clue here is this is a poem about Europe. And then question 10. He said this about this poem. Last night after not finishing, writing this to you, I finished a dull poem about ye eastern thriding, which I'm now trying to flog to thwaite. The clue, by the way, is in this poem you find a reference to toasters. Not toads, toasters. East Thriding. He means the East Riding, but... Okay. So it's the name of that poem. Right, you can swap your answer sheet with your markers. Okay, answer to question one. I think he was Welsh, by the way, but the poet that's a friend of Larkin with the blue plaque on the wall of a Swansea betting office was Vernon Watkins. Vernon Watkins. Question two, literary connection between Malcolm Bradbury and Monica Jones. Malcolm Bradbury based a character in one of his novels on Monica Jones. The novel was Eating People Is Wrong, but the answer to the question is just he based the character in one of his novels on Monica. 64 lines in Larkin's poem, 1914. How many sentences? One. One sentence. The poet who took over as Poet Laureate when John Betjeman died was Ted Hughes. The Larkin contemporary who wrote Excellent Women and Quartet in Autumn was, of course, Barbara Pym. Great novelist, if you've never read her. Which of Larkin's contemporaries won the Nobel Prize for Literature? Seamus Heaney. Tom Gunn moved in 1954 to California. We'll take America as the answer. California in America. You should have got that one. The only American present here. First verse, question eight. The poem he was referring to was The Trees. Question nine, the poem he was referring to was Going, Going. And question 10, the poem which had a reference to toasters was Here. Great poem. Ships Up Streets. Brilliant poem. It's a brilliant poem, yeah. He got into trouble for it though, didn't he? Because he, yeah, cut price crowd. Right, round five is headed Stevie Smith, the Oxford Book of 20th Century Verse, and Famous Fills. So there's a combination for you. Question one, the poet Stevie Smith was born in Hull, West Hull, in which year? And you can have 2 years either way. We'll give you 2 years leeway. It's not me suddenly being benign with you. It says here, the organisers of this quiz have said you can have 2 years either way. I wouldn't give it to you myself. So what year was Stevie Smith born? And you can have 2 years either way. Much too far out all her life and not waving but drowning. Now, this is a really long question. Which renowned American poet wrote the following fan letter to Stevie Smith in 1962? Also, she said, I am hoping by work of magic to get myself and the babies to a flat in London by the new year and would be very grateful in advance to hear if you might be able to come to tea or coffee when I manage my move to cheer me on a bit. I've wanted to meet you for a long time, said a renowned American poet in a letter to Stevie Smith. Who was that renowned American poet? And question three, what was the name of Stevie Smith's fifth and possibly best known collection of poetry, which was published in 1957? Question four, which famous British actress played the poet Stevie Smith in the 1967 film of her life called Simply Stevie? Question five, when Larkin edited the Oxford Book of 20th Century English Verse in 1970, he was given a visiting fellowship of which well-known Oxford College? Question six, W.H. Auden's famous poem, Night Mail, was included in the Oxford Book of 20th Century Verse. Which national organization used this poem in a film about their business? So the contemporary name of this national organization that used the poem in a film about what they did. Question seven, Grayson Perry's wife is called Philippa Perry. What is her profession? This is in the famous Phillips category, by the way. Philippa, that's why it's in here. Question eight, Philip Michael Thomas is an American actor famous for being in which 1980s long-running police drama? Philip Michael Thomas, American actor, famous for being in a 1980s long-running police drama. What was it? Question nine, Kingsley Amis named his first child after Philip Larkin. What were the names of Amos's other two children? You get half a point for each. So, great friend of Philip Larkin, of course, Kingsley Amis, named his first child after him, then had two more children. You get half a point for each of their names. And question 10, the final question in this penultimate round. Complete the title of this novel by Philip K. Dick. Do androids dream of... Two words. Do androids dream of... Okay, swap over. Let's... Okay, ready to mark? Here we go. Stevie Smith was born in 1903, so we'll accept 1901, 1902, 1904, or 1905, but she was actually born in 1903 in Hull. The renowned American poet who wanted to meet Stevie Smith was Sylvia Plath. The name of Stevie Smith's fifth and best known collection of poetry, I gave it away earlier, Not Waving But Drowning. Will I accept Not Drowning But Waving? No, it's the wrong way round. Famous British actress, my former colleague in the House of Commons, Glenda Jackson, sadly died this year. Larkin was given a visiting fellowship to All Souls College, Oxford. The organisation which used the poem Nightmare in a very famous film was the General Post Office, the GPO. I'll accept the Post Office. Grayson Perry's wife, Philippa, is a psychologist. Philip Michael Thomas starred in Miami Vice. Kingsley Amis's other two children, apart from Philip, his first, Sally and, of course, Martin, who also died this year. Four, Glenda Jackson. Number eight was Miami Vice. Miami Vice. And finally, the novel by Philip K. Dick, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? Okay, final round. Round six. Right, so are we ready? Last round. And the last round is headed. The last round is headed. Philip Larkin Society, Honorary Vice Presidents and Presidents, past and present. Question one. Poet Imtiaz Dakar, D-H-A-R-K-E-R, was born in Lahore, but in which British city did she grow up? Imtiaz Dakar. Which city did she grow up? She's an honorary vice president. Question two, sculptor and honorary vice president Martin Jennings has recently designed the image of King Charles for our new coins and notes. One of his sculptures is outside the BBC in London. Which famous writer does it depict? So Martin Jennings, whose statue of Larkin is at Hull Paragon Station, has a statue outside the BBC, not of Larkin, but of another famous writer. Who? Question three, Dale Salwak, another vice president, I presume. Dale Salwak has written many books about Larkin and other modern writers, but what was the non-academic connection between Dale Salwak and former and much loved PLS president, Eddie Dawes. What did Eddie Dawes and Dale Sawack have in common? And it's apart from a love of Larkin. Question four. Rosemary Parry is a member of Philip Larkin's family. How is she related to Larkin? How is Rosemary Parry related to Philip Larkin? Question five. For which American political satire did David Quantick provide scripts? For which American political satire did David Quantick provide scripts? Question six. The comedian Stuart Lee is married to Bridget Christie. Which rural sitcom did Bridget Christie write and star in earlier this year? Question seven. For how many years was Andrew Motion Poet Laureate? For how many years was Andrew Motion Poet Laureate? Question eight, back to Grayson Perry. What's the name of his female alter ego? What's the name of Grayson Perry's female alter ego? Question nine. It's a question I struggled with. Alan Johnson was Home Secretary under which Labour Prime Minister? If anyone says Gladstone, they're immediately disqualified. Rosie Millard is the Chair of Children in Need. Who presented the very first Children in Need in 1980? So when you're ready, swap with the... with your markers. Okay, are we ready to rock? The poet Imtiaz Darker lived in Glasgow, grew up in Glasgow. Sculptor Martin Jennings designed the statue of George Orwell outside the BBC in London. Question three, Dale Sawack and Eddie Dawes were both magicians. Question four, Rosemary Parry is Philip Larkin's niece. Question five, the American political satire that David Quantock provided scripts for was Veep. Veep, V-E-E-P. Veep. Question six. Bridget Christie wrote and starred in The Change earlier this year. Question seven, Andrew Motion was Poet Laureate for 10 years. Question eight, the name of Grayson Perry's female alter ego is Claire. Question nine, I was Home Secretary under Gordon Brown. Question 10, Rosie is the Chair of Children in Need. The person who presented the first ever Children in Need in 1980 was Terry Wogan. Now, hand your papers in and we'll get the final scores.
My wife has arrived for this special occasion.
Hey!
There you are, Alan.
Oh, I thought you were going to do this. Okay. Right. The Larkin Irregulars, a very decent 32. And a special commendation. The Brunettes, 35 and a half. Julie, 39. Quiz Team Keeler, 40. But Lob Lolly Men, 47 out of 60. Which means the prize, by the way, is there a prize?
There is a prize. Is it that one?
It's to be shared between the winning team.
So oh.
We need a photograph, Alan, if you don't mind.
Yes, of course. Would you send your captain up for this? Well, why don't you all come up?
Yeah, all come up. We need.
Ah, it's like winning Strictly, isn't it, this?
Oh, thank
you. It's all yours. You can share that. Do you want to make a speech or not? No? Okay, no, good. Whole team. Multinational team, this. Well done. Well done, team.
Just a small present for Alan from all of us. Happy Christmas.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Julian.
Oh, there, Santa, you gave me a scare. Now stop teasing, cause I know you're there. We don't believe in no goblins today. I can't explain why I'm shaking that way. Then I can see old Santa in the keyhole.
Thank you so much to Alan for being such a fabulous host, and to Rosie for making the journey up from London just to join in. Thank you to Phil Pullen for making and editing the recording, Julian Ward for organising the drinks and mince pies, Rachel Gallatly for running the merch store, Graham Chesters for welcoming us all on the day, and the excellent Hayworth for looking after us so warmly on that chilly Saturday afternoon. And of course, thank you to everyone who came along and made it such a lovely event. And I would like to say actually a special thank you to Jacqueline O'Donnell, who came all the way over from Dublin to join in the quiz, which was absolutely amazing. And I think we were all delighted to see her. The Philip Larkin Society always marks the 2nd of December, which is the anniversary of Philip Larkin's death in 1985. This time last year, we marked the date with the unveiling of a blue plaque in Coventry at Larkin's birthplace, and we held an evening event at Westminster Abbey with poetry readings at the site of his plaque in Poets' Corner. It felt right to do something a little more informal and closer to home in Hull this year. Spotify's end of year roundup, which is called Unwrapped, sums up what has been happening for the podcast this year and has given us some excellent statistics. It told us that our most popular episode was back in July, which explored the links between Philip Larkin and Thomas Hardy with guests Arthur Keegan and Jane Thomas. This episode also attracted the most new listeners of all the year's shows, so thank you to Arthur and Jane for being such excellent guests. More stats from Spotify. We have been downloaded in an amazing 19 different countries globally, which might be one of the reasons why our number of followers has grown by 32%. And there are a fantastic 41 people out there who have Tiny as their number one podcast. I've really enjoyed being able to explore our archived recordings and bring to a new audience the voices of Anne Fine, Alan Plater, Winifred Dawson and John White, who gave fascinating talks to the PLS between 1998 and 2010. But thank you to all our guests this year. Bruce Lindsay, Clarissa Hard, Francesca Gardner, Julian Henry, Chris Fletcher, Chris Stewart and Phil Pullen. Thank you to my husband, Gavin Hogg, who was not only a guest back in January, but also has been a continuous source of tech support and cups of tea and glasses of wine when needed. Thanks to Simon Galloway for always being available for recording advice. And finally, to all the Philip Larkin Society members for their ongoing support, without which this podcast would not be able to run. This was, of course, the year that Professor Eddie Dawes sadly passed away. Eddie was our founding chair and was our very first podcast guest back in December 2019. If you have not listened to that episode, then please do. Eddie's memories of his friendship with Philip Larkin are well worth a listen. So, have a peaceful Christmas and send in the very best wishes for the new year. We'll be back in January with a deep dive into the world of the post-war English novel. So if you've got some quiet time planned over the holiday, why not get in the mood and have a read of Jill by Philip Larkin, Hurry On Down by John Wayne, and Lucky Jim by Kingsley Amis. This podcast was produced by me, Lynn Lockwood, and Gavin Hogg, and the music was The Horns of the Morning by The Mechanicals Band. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future topics, then please, as ever, do get in touch.
Of the morning are blowing, are shining. The meadow is wet with the coldest of dew. The dawn reassembles with a cloud.